Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's coverage time here once again at the Union Salon. Time to introduce you to our guest artist this evening, the fabulous, the one and only. Let's have a nice big hand, please, for Lee Sutton. Yes.
Don't start me off, you make me massacre, Ram. Should look as if I'm back in prison. Come out the one who said that and bring out what you're playing with. Straight in, no messing. What do you have to do if you want to be a star? Apart from the casting couch, I mean. That's what I wanted to know. What do you have to do if you want to go far? Be back in time for supper, we're having fillet. And be the leading light in a show. Is it talent or is it nerve? Is it luck or is it verve that gets you to the top of the tree? Is it who you know or how you look? Can you pick it up? And God knows I've tried. Or learn it from a book. The answer was a mystery to me. So I decided to seek advice from all those stars who topped the bill on how to rise above it. You've tried too, have you? When your hopes are down to nil. I wrote to Judy Garland, Sammy Davis, Frankie Vaughan, Dusty Springfield, Johnny Mathis, Lena Horne. I had to get that one in. I wrote to Cliff. I wrote to Danny. To Sir Lawrence. And Arthur Higgins. I know it don't rhyme, but he's my butcher and I promised him a plug. No, he's a nice fella. He never puts his meat out. We should go on for 3 days at this rate. And many others, too numerous to mention. They all put me wise as to where the secret lies. It's just a simple case of how to command attention. You've gotta open the show with a bang. You've gotta make enough noise to raise the roof. There's no percentage in playing a loop. You gotta open the show with a bang. You gotta get up and go with the gang. You gotta put all you've got right on the line. Flash those pearlies like a neon sign. You gotta open the show with a bang. Those people out there may be full of despair, anticipating that they've seen it all before. But if you've got the goods, display 'em, rattle, dazzle 'em and slay 'em, so the customers are yelling out for more. If you're in Peckham, Paris or Penang, go on and give 'em a touch of dynamite. Make every night like an opening night. You gotta open the show with a bang. They don't know your name, but you're dreaming of fame. How long can you dream? In a dressing room that's like a prison cell, and the chain keeps hitting you on the head. No wonder you come on feeling flushed. What's more, the epic you appear in has a title made for jeering. Grin and bear 'em. But a show by any other name could smell. Say it with music on ice or in slang. If you've got something to sell, then make it clear. You've got the message they're longing to hear. And when those butterflies give you a pang, you've gotta open the show. You gotta get on and glow. You gotta open the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, fellow thespians. There's a few in. And those of you who may be amphibious. Welcome once again to Opportunity Rings. My name is Lee Sutton, known to my intimate friends as Flo, because when they've had it, they're Scopa. The song I've just done is from my other LP. Oh, my God. Guy, you shouldn't wear those chunky earrings. It's on my other LP on the Monk's Breading label, Melodies for Amputation or Songs to Have It Off By. This one, of course, is for EMI. I don't know what it stands for, but after tonight, it'll be every man for himself. On my other LP, I was backed by that wonderful group, I beg your pardon, Jimmy Riddle and the Slashers from Whetstone Park. They're a lovely group. And we did other lovely numbers on it, So Tired on the Front Side, and There Must Be a Way on the Other Side. But tonight, of course, the censor has been at my repertoire. He has. He snipped all little bits off. You know, have you ever seen a censor at work? You know, they go through all your gags and they go, yeah, that's all right. That's out, you know. What can you do? So if I'm not on form, you'll understand. Anyway, I've been feeling a little rough all day. We are having the usual raffle. It's for a very good cause tonight. Give generously. Give your all. All, madam. It's for the Home for Retired Brownies, of which I am vice president. And you can have your choice of prizes between a Dovasol, a Parasol, a Camisole, a Risso, or an Arsenal season ticket. Actually, I'm lucky to be here at all. I've just flown in from Hollywood. Don't I've met you blatant arms, eh? That's the place where you can lie on the sand and gaze at the stars. Or vice versa, if you prefer. I did, You are getting my best side, aren't you? Actually, I'm sitting on it, you understand? While I was out there, I did another full length for Hitch. He was very grateful. It's a sequel to the Pink Panther called The Bloodshot Pussy. I never make films, I only make sequels. Did a sequel to A Shot in the Dark, it was called A Bang Up the Alley. Sequel to Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, Ring of Fire. Sequel to Only Two Can Play, called You Wanna Bet. All you need is a bigger table. Because my biggest success was my first Western. It's a sequel to Canyon Passage, called The Airy Prairie. In it, I played the only lady sheriff with 200 cowboys in her posse. But they kept on giving me bum steers, you know how that is. I had four leading men in that one, Mart, Art, Bart and Fargo. My big, really big scene was with a Red Indian chief. He was the son of Sitting Bull and his wife Lying Cow. And he approaches me waving his tomahawk. That is an Indian weapon, for those of you who don't know. But the only thing that is peculiar about it is got a knot in it. Now, I look at this and I say, how come? And he has no answer. He is flabbergasted. I've never seen anyone's flabber so ghastly. What a time I had getting here tonight. The trains are so packed. Honestly, they're crowded to a point where it's fun. It's a job to hold your own. It is, honestly. When I got off, I was holding somebody else's. People have asked me, they said to me, what kind of a family do you come from? Well, I come from a very talented family, believe it or not. My mother was a cover girl for Sporting Life. And Daddy did bird impressions. He made his last appearance at Bow Street in a ginger wig. He looked vile. Then there's my sister Louise. We all call her Lou because everyone makes a convenience out of it. In her spare time, she's a farmerette. That's a girl who sows her wild oats every Saturday night, and every Sunday morning she prays for crop failure, you know. Stop explaining it. And there's my brother Phil. We had trouble with him. He thought he was a crocodile. Honestly, took him to the psychiatrist. He said, you'll have to have him put away. I didn't have the heart to. I'd him made into a handbag with shoes to match your leather. And then someone wanted to know what I did before I took up this lark. Well, I've known lots of interesting positions in my time. I first started as a photographer's assistant. I hadn't got a clue what to do. You know, the first day he took me into the dark room just to get the feel of things. The second day he taught me how to touch up and develop. The third day he showed me how to make a good enlargement. We started off with postcard size and ended up with whole plates, which was quite interesting. The fourth day I broke his tripod and he kicked me out. Then I went on to the buses. I lost that job because I let a fella go all the way for fourpence. From there I went into menswear, which didn't suit me a bit. And this fella walked in one day. He said, I would love to see your Harris in the window. Well, I thought the customer's always right, you know. And bang went another job. Then I thought I'd try my hand in a fishmonger's. Well, everything was all right until this fella came along one day and his hands were on everything, honestly, all over my slab. I said to him, what are you looking for? He said, hard rose. I said, it's her day off. From there, I went to work in a factory that makes orange squash. Now, this was something new. I said to the foreman, what exactly do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take the pith out of the oranges. Would you know, in 2 weeks, I was the best pith taker they had? I was. I said to him, what do I do with all the pith when I've taken it out of the oranges? He said, well, you see that great big pith pot over there? Then I joined the Philharmonic. Till they started to feel more than harmonic. I was their lead in brass. And you do get asked some funny questions, you know, because you dress up like this, you do. I mean, someone said to me here several times, they said, how do you keep it up night after night? I said, it's not easy. He said, I think you've got a soft life. I said, yes, but I've had it hard in my time. He said to me, will you come away with me for a weekend? I said, no, I can't stand anything weak. He said, you believe in free love? I said, have I ever given you a bill? There was that other fellow who came up to me and said, is it true that when you die, you go stiff? I said, of course. He said, bury this. I think it's dead. It was sad, really. His foot had gone to sleep. He said to me, it looked like a foot anyway. He said to me, come home with me and see my etchings. He said, etchings at my age? I said, look, do me a favour. I said, I wasn't born yesterday, and that's the understatement of the year. I said, I've got it up here. He said, all right, so I'll stand on a box. Fella said to me the other night, he said, I'm a man of few words, do you or don't you? I said, I don't as a rule, but you've talked me into it. But one thing, since I've been working here at the Union, I've been to some lovely parties. I was at one last Saturday, wasn't I, Pat? There you got a mansion. What? Gay 90s party. Honestly. All the men were gay, all the women were 90s. But honestly, the hostess, she was so generous. Do you know, as we were leaving, she gave earrings to all the ladies and cufflinks to all the men. I got one of each. Rather than that. We played some lovely games there. We played Electrician's Knock. Don't you know that one? It's where you're not allowed to refuse. You just circuit and see, you know. Then we played Post Office. I was a mailbag. Then they played strip poker. I didn't mind the stripping part. When I saw what they were using for pokers, I objected. There was one fella that he never stopped doing his party piece. Honestly, poor cow, she looked worn out. And she was the worst for drink and all. I pushed her head between her knees. She screamed blue murder. How did I know she had a fag on? Anyway, I have a request here. I have a request here for Blossom, Petal, Fern and Tulip and all the rest of the boys at the Hot Stream Barracks. They've asked me to do Mac the Knife. I'm sorry, I really am not familiar with Mac the Knife. I once met his brother, Dick the Chopper, if that would do. And it affects different girls different ways. Lovemaking, I mean, it does. You know, I mean, a French girl being made passionate love to by a man, she gets very passionate, very hot-blooded, the French. And she says, c'est magnifique. German girls are slightly more masculine, even more than me. And they say, ich liebe dich. That's what it says here, anyway. Spanish girls say sissy, senor. No, I beg your pardon. Sissy, senor. American girl says, man, this is really leather. English girl says, guy, the ceiling needs painting. Actually, I've got to be very careful tonight. I've got the old man with me. I always pack something I don't need. Oh, he's all right in his place, if only someone would dig it, you know. I always seem to rub him up the wrong way, I don't know why. Said to me the other night, he said, let's go out tonight and really enjoy ourselves. I said, okay, if you're home before me, don't wait up. I said to him, will you love me when I'm old and bent? He said, you know I do. Went home yesterday afternoon, I said, I've just had my face lifted. He said, some bastards will pinch anything. When he saw the mink coat, that shook him. He said, I bet you paid through the nose for that. I said, no, but you're getting warm. Anyway, now we have the continuing story of Cinderella. As you remember, we last left Cinders trolling about in a woodland glade, gathering sticks. She is kinky for woodchoppers. Suddenly, she comes across an old lady who is well and truly bent. Her drag is so naff, it's even more cod than Cinders. Actually, she is the fairy godmother, though she looks more like her queer godfather. What's more, she is looking for faggots. Take mine, says Cinders, you poor old dear. Don't worry, I'll soon find plenty more around here. The old bag is as happy as a pig in chiffon. You shall be well and truly paid for your kindness, she says. Oh, no, not that, cries Cinders. Why, only this morning my two bold sisters had a whip round. The old lady shuffles off and the prince minces on. He is wearing tights, that's why he walks that way. He has a butcher's at sin and she varders him. He looks so sweet, she feels she could eat him and she knows it's not fattening. That reminds me, she says, I must hurry home. I've left my meat in the oven. If I don't go now, it will be done to a turn. And if she hadn't gone then, she would have been. The prince is then joined by his aide-de-camp, Dandini. He's definitely more camp than aide. How about changing parts, suggests the prince. Dandini is delighted that the prince is so suggestive. What a boner idea, he replies. Because his heart is so worn, it's due for a rebore. To be continued when you turn over the record. Beg your pardon. But of course, I don't always perform at the Union. I do perform other places. I had a lovely booking last week at a nudist colony. Now, that is a sight for sore eyes. And I've got the sorest eyes in the business. The head nudist met me at the gate, honestly. Now, what a gentleman. You can always tell, it sticks out a mile. And I said, how do women get on when they first join a nudist camp? He said, well, it affects different women in different ways. He said, some faint, others have a stroke, which I can understand. And of course I do Masonics, they are quite interesting. Fellow said to me one night, he said, have you ever been out with any Masons? I said, no, but I've stayed in with a few odd fellows. And then I was in the Land Army once. Did I tell you I was in the Land Army? I've just been talking to my friend over there, Lucy Lester, because she was in with me. Now, she is a bit on the dizzy side. She cannot tell the difference between Vaseline and putty. On it, she had a terrible accident last week. All her windows fell out. And she still thinks the Board of Trade is a bench in Hyde Park. But when we were in the Land Army together, you know their motto, backs to the land. We lived up to it, believe me. She's a sentimental type. You know, she's the type, if she goes out with a fella, she plants a tree. Have you been to Epping Forest lately? But she's the worst one I know for scandal. Never got any. Me, I'm as pure as the driven snow. Don't judge me by this, but I am pure as the driven snow. Different driver every night, but pure as the driven snow. We were having a serious discussion the other night about death, and I said to her, I said, you know, when I die, on my tombstone, I want to see something that sums up the real me, my character. She said, I've got it. What about, she sleeps alone at last. We've just come back from a holiday. We went to one of these holiday camps. Nice. It was just called holiday before I got there. That's the place where they spend all day getting the lads and lasses together, you know, and all night trying to break them up. Nice places. One of the chaps in charge, he said, I thought I saw you with a man going into your chalet last night. I said, that's bloody funny. That's what I thought at the time. You can't tell. He said, I'll give you a lift home in my runabout. I found out why he called it a runabout. It had no bleeding floor. I said to him, can you drive with one hand? He said, yes. I said, well, wipe your nose. You make me feel sick. Anyway, to conclude this spot, have we any Navy men in the house?
Yes!
Oh. Ex-Navy? Rent. We cater for everyone at the Union. May surprise you to know I was in the Navy for a bit. Captain really had it in for me. I never know why, honestly. Did you do boat drill? Yeah, so did I. I was drilled in every boat they had. So they shouted out, oars overboard, and I got soaked. Is it true what they say about sailors? Is it true what they say sailors do? Do they love 'em and leave 'em in every port? And is every matlow the rollicking sort? Is it true when they're sailing the ocean that they toss in their hammocks all night? Are they tattooed all over? Oh, he's going to show me. From Delhi to Dover, tell me do. Is it true what I've heard about sailors? Do they all know their fore from their aft? Can they all weigh the anchor? How much does it weigh? Is it their bell bottoms that make sailors sway? What exactly goes on a poop deck? Well, it makes you think, doesn't it? splice their main brace? Does it hurt? Do they ever miss mum? Are they all fond of rum? Tell me, do. Is it true what I'm told about sailors? Is the hornpipe a thing that they smoke? Now we're really getting down to it. Do the nice girls all love him because he has pluck? Does a touch of his dicky really bring you good luck? I should be loaded. Where on earth do they use golden ribbons? Do their knots have to be extra tight? To find out if it's true, there's but one thing to do. So I'm joining the Navy tonight, ship ahoy! I'm joining.